We're singing in our class earlier as well. We're delighted to have you with us today, and we wish you a brand new and a happy new year. And there we go. Welcome to 2017. I had to think when I wrote my check this morning that it's not 1-1-16. And I thought about it because it was New Year's Day. But somewhere along the line in the next week or so, I'll write a check and I'll absolutely forget. And it'll take a little while to get used to the idea. You have to be, I guess, about 15, 20, somewhere along in there, because before you realize what this new year means, other than firecrackers, and other than just the start of a new year and the end of Christmas. And at that point, it gets a little scary, and at that point, things start speeding up. And by the time you've had about 50 of them, they're rolling around faster than you can think. And so you look at this new year, 2017, and you think something new and something different. And I put an exclamation point after that and a question mark. Because in a lot of ways, it's another Sunday. In a lot of ways, it's another day. Because the newness never stops. It's not just the waiting on a new year. We have every moment a new moment. Every second a new second. Every minute a new minute. Every day a new day. Every month a new month. Every year a new year. And all of those things continue to happen. And they are letting us know that we are moving towards something. And we don't like to think about where we're going. But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. And God tells us where the time is counting down to. It's counting down to our death, and it's counting down to the time that we face Christ and judgment. And every second that we have, that we're a part of, the new year, the new day, the new second, the new moment, we moved away from something. And we are moving away from the day of our birth. We're moving away from the history that has occurred before us. Things we are not to forget. Things we are, at the same time, to move on from. We are now 2017 years from Jesus Christ being here. And yet, the reason why I wanted Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, read for us, even though that's not where we're going to be, where we're going to be is in the book of Exodus chapter 3. But the reason why I wanted that read for us is the contrast between what is said in Hebrews chapter 1 and what we're going to see in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is when God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. That message delivered by God was through angels. And the law, which was to come sometime later, was through angels. What has been delivered to us is by Jesus himself, by God himself. And God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the message that we have from God is far greater than the one that Moses had at that burning bush. And it's far greater than the one he would receive at Mount Sinai. And this message that God spoke to us through Jesus Christ, we are now separated from it by 2017 years, and yet he still speaks to us. When the writer of Hebrews wrote those words in Hebrews chapter 1, he was already separated from Jesus speaking those words. And he learned them from the apostles who heard Jesus speak. And he tells us that we learn from them the same way. And that we're to hold fast to those things delivered by the apostles and the prophets who gave to us the very words Jesus spoke. They are the words that are to guide us. They are the words that are to lead us. They are the words where God is speaking directly to us. Much greater than what occurred in Exodus chapter 3. But I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 3, and I want us to look at what's here. I've done this before some time ago because it's something that I never forget. Every time I think about something new, I think about this. Let me give you the background for me, and you may remember, you may recall. But I thought it would be good for us on so many new things coming in for us in this new year to remember this. I had finished the third year program at Freed Hardeman College. It was Freed Hardeman College at the time that I attended it. And I had transferred to David Lipscomb. The first chapel talk that I heard at David Lipscomb University was delivered by Mack Wayne Craig. And he was at that time the dean of students. And he delivered a chapel talk for all of the new students coming in to the new year. And he based it on Exodus chapter 3. And what we're going to say this morning and what we're going to look at is basically the heart, or the outline heart, of what he had to say at that chapel talk on that day. And it has stuck with me every time I've entered into a new situation in life. And a lot of times as I enter into a new day and I try to consciously remember it. And I hope you'll think about it, and I hope you'll remember it as we begin this new year. And I hope the thoughts will be something that will help you in every new event that's going to come your way, not only this year, but for the rest of your life. Exodus chapter 3 tells us the story of Moses, who had already left the land of Egypt. He had already been rejected, at least by a small group of his own people, when he thought they would recognize that God was going to have him to be their deliverer. But he was already rejected. He tried to protect one of his people, and he killed an Egyptian in the process of protecting a man that was being beaten by him. And the next day he saw two Israelites fighting and tried to break up that fight. And one of them said, "Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And when Moses realized it was known, he fled for his life and he went to the land of Midian. There he met his father-in-law, and there he met his future wife, and there he becomes a shepherd for his father-in-law. His father-in-law lives in Midian, which is on the east side of the Gulf of Aqaba, as it's referred to in the Bible maps. And somewhere, probably to the north of that gulf, is where Moses' father-in-law lived. And Moses had taken the sheep in search of grass and had made his way westward. The Bible will refer to it in some translations as he took them to the west. Others will say that he took them to the far side or to the backside of the wilderness. And he finds himself, according to the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, at Mount Hebron, which is Mount Sinai. And he is at Mount Sinai when this event occurs. The very mountain that God is going to bring him back to. The very mountain God will use as a sign. And say that the sign that you're going to accomplish, what I want you to accomplish, will be that you will bring the Israelites back to this very mountain. And there at that very mountain, they would receive the instructions for the tabernacle and they would receive the law. But while Moses was at the foot of this Mount Sinai, in this wilderness, he saw something he'd never seen before. It was a bush that was burning in a great blaze, but it wasn't being burned. The blaze was there, and it was continuing to burn and to blaze, but the bush wasn't even being singed. It didn't appear to have any problems whatsoever. Is God able to build a fire that doesn't burn? Or is God able to protect a bush that will not burn even in a great blaze? It almost reminds you of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it? that this God has power over everything. And when Moses saw this sight, he said, I'm going to go over and see this great thing to see what this is about, where the bush is in a blaze of fire, but it's not being burned. And as he walks over to it, God speaks to him from the bush, and God says, don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. The ground on which you are standing is holy ground. And Moses fell to his face. And God says, I've heard my people crying. So I'm going to send you back to them so that you can bring my people out of Egypt and bring them to the land that I have promised them. And Moses had questions already. And when he complained about the fact that he didn't know how to do that, God said, I will be with you. And I will help you to accomplish everything that I intend for you to do. So here are the lessons. In this new year, whatever new thing you and I are going to face, three things are true. They are the same three things that were true for Moses as he approached this new thing of this burning bush. And they are the same three things that are true for you and I, no matter what new thing we come to. A new moment, new day, new year, a new period of suffering, a new period of joy. Whatever we come to, these three things are absolutely true. Number one, God's already there. He had never seen this bush before. Never seen an event like this before. But when he walks over to it, God's already there. God is already in the bush waiting for Moses to come. Whatever happens in 2017, God's already there. And he already knows everything that's going to occur and everything that's going to happen. Psalms 139, David writes this with regard to the presence of God. When David led our singing in our worship service this morning, we sang the song that David wanted all of us to keep in mind and all of us to remember, Be With Me, Lord. David writes this from the other side of the coin of that, Be With Me, Lord. Be With Me, Lord is really not an appeal for God to come into our presence. It's an appeal almost for us to remember he's always there. And that side of the coin is what David writes about in Psalms 139. Sometimes David said, don't take your presence from me. Sometimes David would say, be with me. And those are things that we all need to remember and need to say. Sometimes we need to just step back and remember we are in his presence. And we cannot move from it. He is always around us. It's in him we live and move and have our very being. In Psalms 139 in verse 4, David talking about the presence of God and being in his presence, he says, you know my words before I ever speak them. He knows your words before you ever thought them. He knows your words years before you ever entered into the situation. You know my words before I ever speak. In verse 5, he says, you've enclosed me behind and before. He knows everything about my past. And he knows everything about my future. And David will say with regard to that knowledge, it's too great for me. I can't comprehend that. It's too great for me. I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't understand that. How can he know everything about me, my past, and everything about my future, and me still be free and responsible? But I am. In spite of his knowledge, I'm responsible. And I do what I choose to do. But he knows. And he knows the things I will say, and he knows the things I will do. I'm always in his presence. In verse 7, David raises the question, where can I go from your spirit or your presence? If I go to the highest mountain, you're there. If I go to the deepest part of the earth, you're there. If I recline into the secrets of my own mind and not let anything out, you are there. David didn't say that, I did. But it doesn't matter where we go, we cannot escape nor get rid nor move away from his presence. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. How many different ways can you look at that verse and all of it be true? For the day that I have today, God not only sees it, he sees 1,000 years. What does 1,000 mean? It means he sees all of them. It's not counting down to where his eyesight is limited to what's going to happen in 2017. Wait, we are in 2017. 3,017. It's not limiting it. It's like the cattle on 1,000 here, the cattle on 1,000 hills. They are all God's. All the cattle. And all the years of the past, all the years of the future. He sees them all and he knows them all. No matter where we go, no matter what we face, no matter what comes our way in 2017, God is already there. We're not going into a place where he is not. We are not going into a place where he's not under control. We are not going into a place where he does not know. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are in his presence. He knows it all. He is already there. The second thing, God has something for me to do. When Moses got to that burning bush, God had something he wanted him to do. In this moment, God has something he wants you to be doing. In this day, God has something he wants you to be about. In this year, God has something he wants you to do. And Moses found when he came to that bush, God was already there, and God has something that he wanted him to do. And the same is true for us. Jesus will say it this way, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God wants me to come to know him. He wants me to come to know his mind. He wants me to come to know his heart. He wants me to come to know his will. And he wants me to be about it. He wants me to be what he would have me to be. In my relationship with my spouse. In my relationship with my family. In my relationship with my church family. In my work. In everything that I do in life, God wants me to be about what he wants. And what he desires. And so he's given me his word to help me to know and understand what that is. And Jesus will say, as he writes to the churches in the book of Revelation, you be faithful unto death. Literally, it's you be faithful into death. You be faithful even if it causes your death. And I will give you the crown of life. What God wants me to do is to be faithful to him. No matter what happens in 2017. To find out what God wants and be faithful to him. And to be what he would have me to be. That's what Moses learned when he came to this new thing. God's already there. God has something for me to do. And then God will help me do it. I will not be alone. I will not be by myself. I will not be doing things that depend upon my entire strength. I will be having help from God. Jesus said this to his apostles just before he ascended into heaven. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' promise, I am with you until this world comes to an end. I am with you until I come again, and then those who are faithful will be with me. He will always be with us. Paul understood it. And Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through Christ, I can do everything and have the strength and the power through him to accomplish everything he would have me to do. Jesus' promise. It was a promise made to Moses. It is a promise made to us. And our God, who is already there ahead of us in this new year, he already has something he wants us to do, and he's going to help us do it. I want us to close by looking at this passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. It really starts much earlier, but I want to look at the prayer that Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus and the prayer that he would be praying for us. He says in verse 14 and 15, because of what the church is and what the church accomplishes, and who individual Christians are as a part of that body and what individual Christians accomplish, he bows his knees to God in prayer to God, and he prays for every part of the family and every part of the body this prayer. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. I want you to come to know God, and I want you to be strengthened with power from God's Spirit in your inner man. To accomplish what? The power to become what? Next verse, he tells us. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want you to be filled with God's Spirit to receive the power that comes from that, so that in your entire inner being, you'll be able to understand what true love from God really is and be rooted and grounded in it. And share that love with every person that you know. And understanding and sharing that love of God with every other person, what's involved in it, you might come to know and understand just how much you are loved. And just how much Jesus loved you when he died on the cross for you. As you strive to show that same love to those who've offended you, to those who don't always do what you would like for them to do, as you show that love toward other people, and to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God is there. God has something to do, something for us to do, and God will help us do it. How much can he help us? More than you ask or think. What can he do for us? More than you think, and more than you will be able to ask. More than you will even think about asking. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church. Do you understand what that phrase means? To him be the glory in the church. It means much more than coming together and singing songs. It means much more than coming together and offering prayers. And all of those things are involved and all of those things are included. But to glorify God is to honor Him by serving Him. To honor Him by submitting to Him. To honor Him by recognizing He is the Creator. I am the created to be what He would have me to be. And to remember that in every moment. And to remember that in every day. I bring glory to God for who He is and what He is all about. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. 2017. God's already here. He has something He wants you to do. He will help you do it. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to put on Christ, to be baptized into Him? Do you need to come home to Christ? We offer you His invitation.